with the spirit of lawlessness that has ran rampant and has actually got away with it. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 107, it says that the reason whenever you see a group of lawlessness, it says because they have rebelled against God. And then we also know that Proverbs 29 says that whenever the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And whenever the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. And what's real is he's cleaning house. So one of the things I love about Trump is he will deal with what's obvious. So the whole political correctness and the whole woke thing that came in that said, we know that's obvious, but we want to call it something else. He actually calls lawlessness lawlessness, and that's been needed for a long, long time. I'm so happy to see it here.
Well, my friends, I'm so happy. I'm so happy about that. And I'm also happy that you're here today. God bless you so much. Troy Brewer here coming at you strong from the studios, the podcast studios at Open Door Church in Big Time Burleson, Texas. Welcome, guys. This is The Pulse, where we're always putting our ear on the heart of King Jesus himself, just like John did when he made a fool out of himself at the Last Supper. You know, hanging underneath the beard of King Jesus, right? Like, what are you doing? You know, clingy John. But that's exactly the way the Lord is. He will never turn away anybody that wants to listen to the rhythm of his heart. Guys, I want to welcome here today. And I also want to invite you guys to be sure and sign in. Let me know where you're watching from all over the world. We're about to start saying hi to people there. If you want us to say hi to you, go, hello, hello, and just kind of do that. Guys, in episode number 69, today, guys, my special guest is going to be Michael Mistretta. And we're going to be talking about life in the war zone and talking about what, listen, this brother is from Jerusalem. This brother goes way back with my family. He actually went to the Honor Academy with my son, Ben Brewer, and we're also going to be given tons and tons of information and some really cool reports and testimonies about our most recently rescued girl. Today, guys, I get to do a FaceTime with a beautiful little girl that we rescued last year, literally pulled her out of the Rio Grande, 14 years old, 9 months pregnant. Ben saw her parents murdered in front of her, saw her daddy murdered in front of her. And now she's part of my family, and Ben went down to go see her because today is her baby's birthday. And so since all her family has been wiped out, we are now her family. And so Ben and Pastor Suwanami and Pastor Mario and a bunch of other people, they're down there today, down there loving on her. And so, yeah, we just now got this picture. So they just arrived down there. And I don't know what's wrong with Ben.
He's carrying a stroller.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got, what all kind of stuff were they giving
she
at that
said
birthday?
Strollers, a bunch of baby supplies, and like a good Suwanami, a true Suwanami party, she's got party decor. So it's not, you know, we don't just go and we're throwing a baby birthday party and where we just get a cake. She's got the decor. She's got a theme. She is treating this baby like it's one of our family because she's our family.
Well, she's a good girl. And yeah. She is. She's treating, you know, guys, we always want to treat our rescued girls like we would hope that people would treat our own kids. Yep. And that means that we go above and we go beyond. And so Ben's down there, which, by the way, did you guys know that Ben is learning Spanish? He started Spanish classes.
I heard a rumor. That's amazing.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, well, it would be fun for you because there's no, I mean, he can't even speak English. Nobody can even understand the brother.
Uh-huh. He got the Boomhauer anointing.
He does have the Boomhauer anointing. That is correct. So, yeah.
I love him.
So, you know, Suwanami, oh my God, you so got to learn Spanish.
Yeah. I'll teach you.
And
people.
So that's what she's doing. Right on.
That's well, friends, awesome.
Again, I want to bless you here because you're going to love our guest here today. It's the first time I've ever had him on here today, Michael Mistretta, and he is from Jerusalem. We're going to be talking about the October 7th event. We're also going to be talking about the lies that people tell and what's real. What is real and what's true? And if we're going to support Israel, and if we don't approve of everything that Israel does, which stop, God never asked you to approve of everything that Israel does. He asked you to support Israel. Right on. I don't approve of everything Leanna does, and I'm still in covenant with her. I don't. That woman is a shopaholic, man.
Pastor.
That woman's out of her tree, man.
That's why I bonded with her so quickly. Oh, we just had that in common.
Yeah, that woman is out of her tree, man. All she wants to do is drink wine and sit in a hot tub.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, come on,
lie.
Listen, we got a ministry. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something else, too. All she wants to do, and I say this all the time, it's so true. I can't be around her for 5 minutes because all she wants to do is kiss. And I'm like, I have
oh
a mind. I would like to have a deep conversation
right, about your feelings.
Yeah,
I want to give her
my feelings.
Yeah.
And she will not let me express my feelings to
talk
her.
Talk about
so,
your day.
Yes,
listen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All I know is Pastor Leanna is going to be on next week, mm-hmm. and she's going to set the record straight on this.
Listen, we're going to erase this.
We will
this.
Ask
she's
her.
Never going to see this. She's never going to see this. Okay, well, joining me here is Shay. How are you today?
I'm so good, Pastor.
Man, you got a brand new hat.
I did. Mm-hmm. I went and got... I needed a black cowboy hat. So
yeah, no, you did.
And it's funny, the guy at the shop was asking me about it. He's like, oh, you want to put it on? I was like, yeah, because... It puts my pastor in a good mood when he sees people looking a little Texas.
You dang skippy.
A little hillbilly.
You dang skippy, man.
I'm going to wear it right to work.
Listen, man, I want to tell y'all something. Texas ain't Austin.
No.
Texas ain't Austin.
Austin's kind of like a mini LA. It's kind of turning into
No, no, no. Austin's more like California. Now, look, I have a bunch of Austinian friends. There's some good churches down there. But I want to just tell you, urban Austin, oh, my God. Just might as well go to Portland. Right on. I'm looking for real Texas because I'm a real Texan and I like that. And I'm dang proud of it.
Yeah, me too. For that. I'm proud of being a Texan.
You're a brand new Austin Texan.
I'm a new Texan, but I love
Austin
it.
Texan.
I embraced it. We embraced it. We're at the rodeo. We get the hats. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun.
Come on. I love
it's
Texas
so
culture.
We love
I think
it.
It's so cool. And you've done great with that.
Thanks for
me. Even though you're a Philly girl.
I'm a city girl.
You're a big time city girl. You're a big time Philly girl. But you're like, no, I'm in Texas. I'm digging the whole Texas thing.
I don't want to live in the country, but like I'll embrace the culture of it.
Man, you know what? Last night I was walking from my barn to my house, and it was like 12:30 at night. And I was walking along there, and as I was walking, something jumped in front of me, and I was like, what the heck? And it's because pitch dark, I couldn't even see my hand from my face. And it was just rabbits, because I have tons and tons of bunny rabbits. And then I go a little bit further, and I feel something, I stepped on something, and I backed off, and there was a snake. I actually stepped on a snake. It wasn't a poisonous snake, it was just a big old bull snake. Mm-mm.
Well, last night, I'll just tell a little story.
Yes.
Joel was outside on the patio.
The bull snakes.
Joel was outside on the patio with his friend, and I had the thought, you know, I would love to go just sit out there and just chill because they're relaxing outside on the patio. But I noticed all the lights were out, so I opened the door, and my first thing that I was going to tell him was, how are you guys sitting out there with the lights out when you can't see spiders? And I opened the door, and right on the floor in front of me, a huge spider. And I screamed so loud. I was like, okay, I'm trying to be outdoorsy.
Yes.
And indoorsy. I can't do it. I just screamed. And they're like, dude, the neighbors are sleeping. And I'm like, I was trying to
Why
come out
screaming?
And hang out
I
with
mean,
you.
What?
Because it was a big spider.
Yeah, dude.
And it started coming towards me.
I had to go spray vinegar on our doorstep last night because Gina didn't want to go outside. With all the frogs on our porch.
Oh, frogs are sweet. I don't mind frogs.
But they eat spiders.
And they eat stuff.
Yeah.
And the geckos, and she's like, no, go spray vinegar. No. And I'm like, I just think the guy's telling you to stay inside.
I can't.
They're skeeter getters, too, man. They're big time skeeter getters.
So I hung out inside.
Well, I want to say a great big hello to Brandy Joe, who absolutely hates snakes. I'd also like to say hello to Kimberly Ray from Palm Bay, Florida. And I call you guys blessed. And Matt is here in the house. Charles is here in the house. Jimmy Pitts is here. You can never have enough cowboy hats. That's right. Listen, Jimmy's got tons of cowboy hats.
Aww.
And so also joining me here today is Miss the lovely and gracious Miss Rebecca. Some say tomato. I say tamayo. Rebecca Tamayo, how are you?
I'm doing great, Pastor. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little bit wound up here today.
I know. Well, you started naming all these different cities. We got Germany in the house, Christian.
Germany.
We got Vonda from California. California.
Whoa.
From Argentina. We got James from New Mexico, Jimmy Pitts from Mineral Wells, Kelly from New Mexico, Sarah, Jill Jones. Renee, thank you so much for tuning in. We are so happy to have you guys tune in and just comment and hit the little ring button on the YouTube. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And don't forget that when you do that, this is how we could be the hands and feet of Jesus all over the world. Globally.
Emily is in London, Ontario.
That's right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a little town.
Yeah, well, God bless you guys.
That's cool.
Man,
South Africa
is here in the
Four
house
countries.
As well.
Yay.
Now we got a lot of people from
all
over the
world. I saw Pastor Gary was on.
Is Pastor Gary here?
Yeah, he's on.
Pastor Gary, my good friend from the Emerald Isle, all the way over there in Belfast, Ireland. Sure do love you, Pastor Gary. Call you blessed, my friends. Okay, and then also, too, man, we have Brother Chris here. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, man.
Yeah?
Doing good.
We just now left the pastors. We have a pastor's gathering on Tuesdays, and tomorrow we're actually going to do that as well, but we're going to have Brian Gibson is going to come join us and speak to the pastors tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Which I forgot to say anything about that today, but I was a little bit nervous because Pastor Glory was there and Leanna was there. Leanna's sitting in the front row, always staring at me going, please, come kiss me.
That's so hard. She's got to be tough for you.
It's just a distraction. I want to be there to record.
I know.
She's like, please, just one kiss, please.
It's
and I'm
him,
like,
right?
Baby, I'm teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We need to make
a give me a break.
Like, give me a break, man. Yeah. I'm not a machine. I'm a man.
That's right.
36 years of marriage, man. You'd think, you know, she's had enough kisses and she hasn't. So.
Oh my gosh.
Y'all pray. Listen, we're all praying. We're going to pray. Y'all pray me through that terrible burden.
Yeah.
Oh that. Thank you. Thank you. But it was an awesome.
Oh it really God. Was.
It was an incredible pastor's meeting.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I was talking about autonomous leadership, and that's my style of leadership is autonomous leadership. And we were talking about how that. I got this from Jesus. By the way, it's 111, 111, 111, 111, 111. Woo woo. 111. You guys know what 111 means? Failures. Okay.
Sorry.
I know. So, angels.
I had a brain
anyway.
Fart.
Angels. Is that what you said, Ann? I heard it. I cheated.
Do you think 111 means
know.
Angels?
Yeah. What is
yeah?
it?
You feel like it's right on? Yeah. So the gematria of the name Jehovah is 111. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so every time, like, you know, like 666 is the beast or the man. It's the ultimate number of the man, right? 555 is a number of Christ. The name Christ has a gematria of 555. And also it's in the Bible 555 times, right? 888 is the gematria for the name Jesus, right? 888. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at, say, 444, which is a key of David, what you're actually looking at is 111 times 4.
Oh.
If you're looking at 888, which is King Jesus, right? What you're looking at is 111 times 8. So it is God Almighty making manifest, no matter what that number is.
Okay. What's 222 again?
It means the pigs are loose in the kitchen.
Spiritually speaking.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, man, 222 is a really big deal. 222 is a... It's a big deal. I'm about to start preaching on all that. We really need to quit because we got a guest here. Because once we start this, everybody and their dog from all these nations all over the world are about to start.
I'm asking because I've been seeing it. 222.
Oh, I hope not.
That's not, I'm not having, that means twins. I know.
Does it mean twins? Are you kidding?
I had a vision. I'm like, I rebuke the vision.
Twins.
I'm here for it.
Twins.
No, you want twins.
Listen, I had twins, man.
We're giving
twins.
You one.
Such as I have.
I know. You're
giving to you.
That's
in Jesus
amazing.
Name.
You laid hands on me last week, and everybody's laying hands on me now on
may
Sunday.
May you have twins.
Beck, anything you want to announce today in the morning?
No, we went from two kids to four kids.
No.
We went from two kids to four kids, and that's what we did, and that's kind of what you're going to do. And listen,
prophetic.
It's a great financial plan as well. And it you know what else is good for? It's good for years of great nights of sleep.
Is it?
Yes,
it you is. Lie.
And I want to tell you this too, man. It's just like if you go from two to three kids, it's a big deal because that means you have to have a bigger vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have that already.
Right on. So you already got.
I got the big vehicle.
Okay.
Now.
Well, you go from a house of four. To a house of six, and it's very notable.
Plus my mom and my dad, so that's
plus
eight.
Your mom
so
and
you
your
need
dad.
To get like a
well, that's
Sprinter
good,
van.
That's what I'm good in the
oh
new house.
God.
Yes, that's
Sprinter
the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I have the truck and I have the SUV, so I guess we're good.
Hey, can we just pray for your new house? Can we do that?
Oh yeah,
Father God,
sir,
I pray God that we God Almighty, so that you bless my sister with her new house. Father God, sir, she needs a big upgrade in her house. Because, God, she comes from Mexican heritage, and her family tends to move in with her. And, God, she's going to have lots of babies. And I pray, Father God, sir, that you would give her a bigger house, more square footage in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen, man. We all
I
agree with that.
I just want to say, from learning from you, bigger another level or a bigger upgrade is more responsibility.
That's right.
When you ask. So be careful for what you ask.
Yeah, well, you know, man. You have to lay stuff down at every single level you go to. You have to lay things down.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly it's just like driving a car fast. I actually drove my motorcycle here today.
I saw it.
Did you see it out
it's
there?
Beautiful.
I got that beautiful big old three wheeler and it's a big old Harley, you know. I love the song Fiery Lake by Bob Seger. Who wants to ride a big gone three wheeler? Sorry. And I love that song. I think it's one of the greatest songs ever. It's called Fiery Lake, and it is about who are the people that's just going to let it all go to hell?
Oh,
That's what it's about. And I just look around all the time, and I say it all the time, fiery lake. Like, you're just going to let it all go to hell, not going to be the man that you called to be, not going to stand up, not going to say, not on my watch, not going to be able to get through your hormonal dysfunction, not going to be able to get through your stack of criticism, not going to be able to do it, just going to throw it all to hell. That's what that song is all about. And I just watch it all the time. I go, not me. Can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. Dang, Skippy. But I do have a big chrome three-wheeler. So the point of that song is, he says, who's going to get that big chrome three-wheeler? Who's going to make that first mistake? Who's going to wear their gypsy leathers and take off for Fiery Lake? And that's what happens to guys my age, right? Mm-hmm. They'll be like, I got to be young again, so I got to get a three-wheeler, and I got to get a young woman, and I'm just going to throw it all to hell.
Old vet.
Well, what I did was, I got a three-wheeler and a bottle of Geritol, and I'm good. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
To the Lamb of God.
Okay. Hallelujah. So what are we doing from here?
Okay, so let's reel it in. We're reeling it in. Yep. Hey, listen, Pastor, you know, we have some incredible ministry updates. And before we get into that, I just want to preface it with, guys, we do this. I know it looks like we're just sitting in here hanging out, which we are today, but we do media. We do all of this so that we can rescue kids. And that really is the crux of every single thing we do. And we are rescuing kids 24/7 all across the globe, from the U.S. to Mexico, to Africa, to Indonesia, to Singapore. I mean, we are all over the globe. We have over 50 safe homes worldwide. I think it's over 52 safe homes worldwide. And what's so cool about that and being a part of this ministry is you get to actually hear testimonies every single week. If you watch our live streams, our church services, or our podcast, we're constantly sharing updates. And Pastor Troy is going to share one in just a couple minutes. As soon as I get done this little spiel, he's going to update you with some rescue stuff that happened just this past week. And it's really exciting to be a part of a ministry where you actually get the live updates of what we're doing in the world, being the hands and feet of Jesus. So if you want to sow into what we're doing, we've got an address right there on your screen. If you want to send a snail mail to us, you can do it that way. You can also call 877-413-0888. That's a 24/7 prayer line also, by the way. If you need someone to just pray for you, pray with you, stand with you. This is our call center. This is actual footage from our call center. These ladies have been trained by our team. They are in-house. They are a part of our family and our tribe, and they want to pray with you, and they want to tell you about the amazing things that the Lord is doing in and through this ministry that you can partner with. So don't hesitate to call that number on your screen. Or of course, you can go to troybrewer.com or odx.tv, any of those websites to get involved. And if you're watching on YouTube, I believe you can even just give on YouTube. So we make it really easy to sow into what we're doing here. And Pastor, with that, tell us some of the updates on the new rescues. I know we were trying to, last week, we were on the verge of rescuing a girl, a 12-year-old girl.
And we did. We did. That's sweetie. Awesome. Man, so we got us a 12-year-old little girl. Her name is Annabelle. And she comes from a terrible, terrible, terrible trafficking situation. And I don't have all the details, but I have enough of the details to know that she's been a slave for several years. And it's been really bad. And also, too, it was a really risky deal because the police and the government people that were involved, which we fully support, this was a risky deal because this was a rebel situation, and it was really bad. Wow. And, you know, it was bad. There was gunfire involved. And I mean, the little girl could have been killed even in the rescue. And I have not got a report of any of the rescuers being killed, which is a really big deal.
Yeah, that's great.
I didn't get a report of any of those guys being shot. That doesn't mean somebody was shot, but I don't think anybody was because I didn't hear. And so, guys, I want to tell you, I really praise God, man, for all of our, not only our rescuers, but also to the prosecuting attorneys and the attorney generals of these states that we are working with all over the planet Earth that are like, okay, we're going to do this stuff. We're bravely going to stand up against the mob. We're bravely going to stand up against these traffickers, against these pornographers. We are bravely going to stand up against them, and we're going to say not on our watch, and we will prosecute them. We will. Even though there's a level of corruption that you cannot imagine, they're saying, no, we will prosecute them. So, guys, they got to be extremely brave to be able to do that. So please continue to pray for our rescue teams throughout the world. And then even today, my son, Brother Benjamin Allen Brewer, Pastor Ben Brewer, is all the way down in Mexico with Pastor Suwanami, Brother Mario. We just got a picture of them here just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
They just landed. And they are going down there on a special mission because they're one of the little girls that we rescued last year. You will remember her. Her name is Naomi. Mm-hmm. Naomi the day that this picture was taken, we had had her for 4 days. 4 days earlier, we had literally pulled her out of the Brazos River. She was 14 years old then, about to be 15 years old. And she was 9 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then we rescued her in every way a girl can be rescued. I went back several months later and went down there to see her. And she had that Bambino right there. And also, too, you can see down at her feet, we went down there and we had a baby shower for her. Now, this little girl literally saw her daddy murdered right in front of her. And then she was hauled away into sexual slavery at the age of 11. She has an extraordinary story, extraordinary mm-hmm. story. And to make the long story short, after several years of her just being a call girl, now, mind you, we're talking about a kid. We're talking about by now, you know, she's 12 or 13, and she has been a slave now for years and years. She was taken to a high-end party where they brought a whole bunch of these girls. And, you know, they dressed her all up. They put nice makeup on her. And there was, like, rich people there. And while she was there, they brought in another busload of girls to be the entertainment for the night. And she looked across the room, and her mama was one of those girls. And she mm-hmm. hadn't seen her mom in 2 years. And her mom had been a sexual slave since the day that the cartel came to their house, burned down their house, murdered their dad, and took she and her mama off in separate mm-hmm. vehicles. And they hadn't seen each other. And so the bottom line is that... she saw her mom. They became so emotional when they saw each other because they both thought that each other was dead. They became so emotional. They totally freaked out that the guy who was running the party, who had bought all these girls, went, "What's going on here?" And he told them. And she said, "Look, you know, this is what happened. 2 years ago, we were all sleeping in our bed, and then we woke up and our house is on fire. And then we all ran out in the yard, and they were waiting for us with machine guns, and they killed my husband right directly in front of me. And then they took my little girl, and they took me in separate directions. We've been slaves ever since." And the guy said, "Dude, I'm bad, but I'm not bad like this." Wow. And he said, so he called a guy over and said, "Here's what I want you to do. Take them to the border," which they weren't very far from the river. "Have them swim across the border. Joe Biden will give them $1 million," or whatever Joe Biden was doing in those days. And so he said, "Okay." And so the guy did. So this other cartel guy takes them over to the river, gets them out, but then the mama gets out, and then he takes off with the girl because now he wants to make that girl his sexual slave. Mm-hmm. And she's so like 13 crazy. Years old. So now he takes them. The mom's running behind the car. They were mm-hmm. this far away from being free. The mom went ahead and swam across the river. And she came across the border illegally, came into the country, and and she got away. So they took this little girl. This guy took this little girl to his apartment. And for over a year and a half, she did not leave the apartment one time. And he just kept her locked in the apartment. Mm-hmm. And he'd go to work in the day, and then he'd come home. And this little girl had no choices in life, mm-hmm. had nobody in the world to protect her and to love her. And then finally, man, she got pregnant, and she got so pregnant. He was like, "I'm fixing to have a baby, and I don't need a baby." So he took her to the river and put her in the water and said, "Swim." She's 9 months pregnant, 14 or 15 years old, mm-hmm. and she was drowning. And one of our rescuers actually saw that happen and ran out there and grabbed her. So I'm going to show you again. This is her like 4 days after that event happened. And she's big and pregnant there. And then this is her just a couple of months later. After she had her baby. And
that baby's 1 year old right now.
Yeah, and that baby is now a 1 year old child. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, Pastor, I had Sherry and some of our girls share the link to Naomi's rescue story that we have on our YouTube. If you're watching and you're feeling moved by this, I want to encourage you to click that link and share her story, because I think there's no greater way to show and to tell people what we are doing in the world than by sharing these rescue stories. And that's the way that you can be a media missionary, is by clicking share and sharing these stories so that there can be more Naomis, you know, more girls that we rescue.
Yep.
And boys.
Outstanding. Yep. Okay. Well, you know what? We're about to go to a video, and whenever we come back, we are going to have our good friend, Michael Minstretta, is going to be here, Miss Stretta.
Yeah.
And he's going to be here, and we're going to be talking about Israel. He lives in Jerusalem, and he's a stud. You're going to love this cat. But first, you guys watch this.
On October the 7th, we had, as it were, the hands and feet of Jesus all over the land of Israel for such a time as this.
When is the time of the rockets coming? In Sderot, we start to pray protection for the city.
God is you, our healer, and our hope.
ситуация открывает сердца людей, что ты можешь говорить им о спасении.
Feels like the world is split into two camps, and us as believers, I think we're called to a higher calling.
Jesus said we're to love our enemies.
We need to get together, really see God, what's God's vision to this land.
Jesus entrusted us with the message of reconciliation.
I think peace is possible in the Middle East. I think we need to look at it from a different perspective.
Friends, Michael Mistretta is the CEO of FIRM, which is an acronym for Fellowship of Israel-Related Ministries. Boom. I like that. Yeah. Stand firm. Living right there in big-time Jerusalem. And he's on the front lines of what God Almighty is doing there. He's not just talking about it. He's actually living it. I can't wait for you to hear his heart. Hello, Michael. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Pastor. Great to be here with you.
I saw you at the NRB.
Yeah.
Right on. Saw you at the NRB.
Small world. We're waiting for you to come visit us in Israel. What's taking so long? I don't know.
Well, it's not safe, and I'm all about peace and safety. Oh, you know, I don't.
Yeah,
I'm scared.
Right. I'm all scared.
I see all these Texans going on vacation down in Mexico. It's much safer actually in Israel than even in Mexico.
I know,
but honestly, it's harder to get to. You can't count on the flights.
You can't. So hopefully.
The reason why we didn't do a team this year to go there because we were going to take like 300 mm-hmm. people. And we were going to go. And, dude, you cannot guarantee the flights.
But, you know, I have groups that are coming, starting to come back now.
Good. Yeah, I know.
I'm going right from here to the airport, flying back to Israel.
Are you really?
I have a flight in 2.5 hours to fly back.
Where do you go through? Are you going to go through Germany?
Newark and then straight direct to Tel Aviv.
Oh, so there is a new one now from Newark that goes
straight. United is going direct.
That hasn't happened in the past couple
years. Because not all of us like El Al. El Al's made a lot of money during this war.
Yeah.
They haven't canceled their flights. But, yeah. We like United Airlines, and we're happy they're back. Delta's also coming back, and American, that's hopefully. Good. American's going to take a few more months. And then
yeah.
Come back.
Yeah. American used to have one that went out of New York over there, and I've taken that several times, and, you know, just a nonstop. Because I'm going to tell you, I hate stopping in freaking Germany.
I understand.
I hate that. And as soon as they find out that you're going to Israel, man, you lose all your luggage. Every time we go through Germany,
Especially if you look a little suspicious, they say, did you pack the bags yourself?
Yeah.
What are you bringing? Do you have any gifts
like,
for friends?
I don't remember. I was drinking, and I don't remember. that's even important. But I tend to give them a bad time, so that probably doesn't
help. If you say the wrong thing to those guys, they'll take your bags. A friend was coming over for my wedding, and he said, I'm bringing a gift for my friend in Israel. They interrogated him, didn't even give his suitcase for 2 weeks. He didn't get his suitcase till he landed back in Texas after the wedding.
That's amazing. How convenient.
I know, exactly.
How convenient. Okay, so also, too, you went to the Honor Academy.
I did.
And two of my children went to the Honor Academy.
Amazing. And yeah, so I'm from Toronto, Canada.
Okay.
I saw we had a viewer watching from London.
Yeah.
Oh, way to go.
So I'm from Toronto, Canada, but I got to Texas as soon as I could.
Right on, bro.
I was 16 years old. I came down here, and I spent about 5 years in Tyler, Texas. East Texas, God's country. Not Austin. Better than Austin.
Oh, yeah. Listen, man, I gotta throw this out there because recently there have been a whole bunch of documentaries come out about how terrible the Honor Academy was and how that it was a cult.
Yeah.
Right? That was abusive to kids.
Yeah.
I want to just tell you that the five kids that are complaining they were in a cult, they're homosexuals.
Oh, my God.
Okay. The Honor Academy was not for homosexuals.
Yeah, yeah.
That was not it was for.
Yeah.
It was for people who wanted to learn how to live for King Jesus,
exactly.
Not to learn how to express themselves in a demonic sexual way.
Yeah.
So they felt like they were persecuted. Call away ambulance. Man, I can't stand that, man. So what was your experience with that school?
I had a great experience. Caused me to go deeper after the Lord. And while I was there, that's when I got a call from God saying, Michael, I want you to drop everything you're doing. I had a company as a teenager that had started.
Cool.
God said, sell the company, sell everything you own, buy a one-way ticket, and move to Jerusalem. You're going to spend the rest of your life doing ministry there. And I was just sold out for Jesus. I wanted to follow him to the ends of the earth. I never thought Israel was where I'd go. I thought he'd call me to Africa or somewhere else. But I said, God, if this is you, then I'm willing. And my life's never been the same. Just that step of radical obedience. So I love being in environments with young people that are just on fire for Jesus and saying, God, would you use me to change the world for you?
That's outstanding, man. You know, it's one thing, man, for God to give you the call. It's another thing, man, for you to conform your life to the image of what God Almighty is calling mm-hmm. you to.
Yeah.
Those are two completely different things. And you did it, man. You pulled it off.
Yeah, and it's a dream come true. You know, I wouldn't date a woman unless she was called to Israel. And then I met Shay's friend, Vanessa. And thank you, Shay, for I learned today you actually helped convince my wife to say yes to date me.
I really do because I grew up with his wife. I mean, literally since we were kids, we've been friends. Yes, since we were little kids. And she is a little bit older, and she just always
a little bit is an understatement.
Yeah. Okay. So she's,
we may be in two different generations.
It's okay. I mean, she's my age.
She claims she's not a millennial.
She is a millennial. Are you not a millennial?
No, I'm a millennial. She claims she's a cusper.
Oh, I don't ever call that.
A cusp between Gen X
no.
and millennials.
Why would you say that? Vanessa, no, don't. I rebuke that. No, I'm a millennial just like she is. But she always had her ducks in a row, and like it was going to take a specific guy for her to settle down, and had to be the right person. And when she first met him, she's like, well, no, he's way too young. And I'm like, he's not a normal early 20s guy.
Yeah.
He's not. So I'm like, you got to give him a chance. Just give him a chance.
Well, thank you for that. Now so we've been married for 9 years, two beautiful boys. And I owe it all to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Your check's in the mail.
Thank you.
Wow.
A feather in my cap.
And I'm a horrible matchmaker. Listen, I'm a horrible marriage counselor. I'm a horrible matchmaker. I'm like, I don't know how any of that works for anybody else. I lucked out with Leanna. I just lucked out with her.
Yeah.
And so I stuck with her, man. So that's about all I know.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, God bless you, my friend. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about Israel. So I was on Flashpoint television show last week doing all kinds of commentary. And one of the things that they asked me is about, hey, what about all these ongoing lies from Israel? And I was asked about that from the whole region, about Israel being the bad guy. Of course, the Palestinians are the good guy. Can we trust what the AP writes? Yes or no? What is it all about? And dude, I went off. I just went off. And so, and I went off on, you know, like the Human Watch Group. That is one of the most demonic organizations on the planet. They don't give a rip about human beings. They are just a propaganda machine. They actually quote whatever Hamas tells them. They say, yeah, this is reality when it's not reality. But we can try and figure that out from one side of the world, but you actually live there.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So what does it look like for you, man?
Well, I think people just don't understand what it's like. If you've never been, it's really hard to understand the reality that we're surrounded by enemies. And I was there on the morning of October 7th. I mean, I was there,
ask you that.
Ran out of my house. You know, you're supposed to run to a bomb shelter when you hear a siren. Unfortunately, I get adrenaline when action happens. And so I ran outside, couldn't believe it. We had hundreds of sirens, and we knew this was different than a regular terrorist attack. We had dread when we started reading the rumor that terrorists had entered the country. We thought maybe 10, maybe 20. Turned out there were 3,000 that entered, 1,200 people murdered, women raped, kids taken as hostages. And I mean, we just shifted into gear and said, how can we help? I was our team and my wife had to hold me back. I wanted to drive down to the border on October 9th. And they said, no, wait till tomorrow morning. So 6 a.m. on October 10th, I went down. There's still 30 terrorists in the country. And you see the devastation. And you have to understand these communities that were affected, the people where they took people from their homes. These were all the peacemakers in Israel. They were the ones that wanted peace with the Palestinians. They were the ones building bridges. They were the ones that many of them were born in Gaza. And 20 years ago, in 2005, they said, we're going to willingly leave our homes, leave our greenhouses, leave our businesses, give it over to the Palestinians because we believe that peace is possible if they have the chance for a future. And I had a woman look me in the eyes and she said, I was the most optimistic. I brought food and money to my Palestinian friends through the gates, to the fences. She said, those are the fences they tore down and they came and murdered our kids.
Yep.
So people have to understand we're living surrounded by an existential threat, not just Hamas, but also in the West Bank. We have terrorist groups. Also in Lebanon, we have Hezbollah, lots of militias in Syria. And then, of course, with Iran being a massive threat. And I'll tell you, June was one of the most scary months of our lives being there, and the whole country was under fire. And literally, we'd wake up in the morning, 3, 4 a.m., entire high-rise building being hit, thousands of people displaced. We've seen the miraculous hand of God, but people don't understand that this is not a war where Israel's the aggressor. We're simply trying to protect ourselves, to defend ourselves, and I'll tell you what we really want. I have two boys, a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. If we don't solve this problem now, they will be fighting Hamas in 15 years. Mm-hmm. We'll be circling the same narrative over and over again. And so this is not a new conflict. 20 years ago, we said, hey, let's give Gaza to the Palestinians. This will solve the problem. Well, our memory is so short-sighted, because what we thought would solve the problem 20 years ago, now 20 years later, has bit us in the butt with a vengeance, and we really don't know what to do, how we're going to solve this for the long run.
On October the 7th, I was just as shocked as everybody else was, and I had just got through, you know, we had just moved into a brand new year, And on the Hebrew calendar, it was 5783, I believe. Yep, it was at 5783.
You know, better than all the other Jews. You're amazing.
you know the Hebrew calendar date?
Yeah, no.
But in 5783, which we just had Rosh Hashanah, we just moved off into that, and I was like, guys, we need to pray about this, because the 5783rd verse in the Word of God says terror will enter their homes.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And it says the babies and the old men will die and terror will enter their homes.
Wow.
And I mean, it's a crazy description of what happened on October the 7th. And it was the 5,783rd verse within the Bible. And then this thing happened, and there was all kinds of very confusing things for me that went with all of it. There was, like, at the same time that the October 7th event happened, confusion went throughout the whole entire world. Like, if I can just be very honest, there was this confusion on where was the IDF?
Yeah.
Why did they pull everybody out the day before?
Yeah.
What is that all about?
Yeah.
There was this whole thing of this confusion of, okay, anybody could see it's not just a couple of hundred punks with guns. This thing is well organized, funded by American dollars, by pallets of cash that had been sent over to Iran, funded by American dollars. And then when the gates are open, when these savages took these people into Gaza among the Palestinian people, they had to protect them from the Palestinian people. The terrorists had to actually, because the people themselves are more savage than a dadgum terrorist.
Yeah, they're savage. Mm-hmm.
And that is not the narrative, that these are poor displaced people and all they need is a chance and all they're asking is give peace a chance and they want to sing with John Lennon and, hey, everything's going to be fine. Oh, no, they'll kill you in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And they raise their children to kill you in a heartbeat. And every hero that they have, every street is named after a bomber that has killed innocent people.
Yeah, they vilify violence. They vilify jihad.
I know all this because I've been there. Yeah. I've been to Gaza.
Yeah.
And so I hooked up with some Palestinian Christians and I went over into Gaza. And I've literally been in Gaza. I've literally been there. We did a big food outreach over there. And I left there thinking the same thing I thought the first time I ever went to a prison. Thank God for this prison.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I thought.
What's hard for people to understand is, look, we did an operation in Lebanon. Took us a couple months to clear out the terrorists. Why? It wasn't the government of Lebanon that was controlling being a terrorist organization. So in Gaza, people have to understand, we're in the heart of urban warfare. Hamas is holding these hostages captive underground, using all of the wealth and aid money that's been given to Gaza to help the Palestinians as either weapons or to defend themselves.
Yep.
They're holding now also the food and the aid that's coming in hostage as well. And they're hiding behind civilians. And so it makes it very, very difficult for us to do the job, which is twofold: bring back the hostages and remove Hamas. And we're at a point now where Israel's having to decide which of those two is going to be the priority. And that's where you'll see the protests happening in Israel. Literally today, hundreds of thousands, over a million people on the streets in Israel today protesting to bring the hostages home. But there's this tension. And what people don't understand is the architect of October 7th was a man named Yahya Sinwar.
Mm-hmm.
He was a prisoner, a terrorist that was a prisoner in Israel,
right.
Almost died,
that's right.
Had brain a tumor. Israeli doctor saved his life.
Yep.
And what happened was we had one soldier that was a hostage in Gaza about 10 years ago, and we traded 1,000 Palestinian
terrorists
for one soldier.
And Yahya was one of them.
And he was one of them. So he got the idea. If we get hostages, we have the ultimate negotiation chip. And you have to think, in the conscience of every Israeli, what happens if we get our hostages back? We want them back. But if we have to trade thousands of Palestinian prisoners, this is just going to happen again for our children and our grandchildren. We're kicking the can down the path.
Oh man, I'm so glad that you love Jesus. I'm so glad. So are you actually a Jew?
Yes, I'm Jewish. My wife's Jewish. We're both Jewish followers of Jesus.
So you're Jewish followers of Jesus.
And totally I'll say this, for a lot of people, I mean, I love Texas because a lot of people love Israel.
Yeah.
But not everyone knows that, you know, in a country of about 10 million people, we have maybe 30 or 40,000 Jewish believers in Jesus, maybe a 5,000 Christian evangelical Arabs. So we're a very small body, less than half of 1% follow Jesus. But I'll tell you, there's been an amazing openness after October 7th. You brought up the question on everyone's mind. Where was the IDF? Imagine the average Israeli. We were pretty confident. Our faith was in our army. Mm-hmm. Our faith was in our intelligence, mm-hmm. the Mossad. We were pretty confident.
Baddest intelligence on planet Earth.
Yeah.
There ain't nobody has better intelligence.
No, I mean, look at what we did to Iran.
Yeah.
Literally, what we saw in June, and I don't think Americans understand this, what we saw in June, history in the books, like where we're literally watching history, the way they targeted with such precise intelligence, exactly the bedroom that these Iranian nuclear scientists were in, or these defense leaders, they kept the whole building, no civilian casualties, just targeted with such precision. Literally, the Mossad brought in drone parts, built a drone factory inside of Iran, and so created crazy. Drones inside of Iran to totally take over the Iranian airspace. So super smart intelligence. Now, every Israeli, their faith in our intelligence was shaken, in our government, in our army, in our intelligence. Now people are looking around and saying, who can we trust? Where do we put our hope?
And here comes the church.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's nothing like a catastrophe to bring people together.
Yeah.
So we have a heart to strengthen, unite, and resource ministries. I mean, with FIRM, that's what we do. We serve over 80 ministries, but we didn't have to work hard after October 7th. Everyone said, what can we do? How do we work together? And we just started showing up, housing over 1,500 displaced people for months at a time, helping communities that would never even have looked at a Jewish believer in Jesus. Shay, you know this.
Oh, yeah.
You grew up, like usually, as soon as they find out you're a Christian's one thing, but if you're Jewish and you believe in Jesus, it's like, hey, you're a pariah, you're a traitor, you're worse than a Nazi because you've killed the soul of a Jew. And now we're saying, hey, we're Jewish believers and we're Christians, we're working together, and we're here to love you and show you tangible love of Jesus, be his hands and his feet. And people said, you're welcome here. Not only do we have to hide who we are, like we welcome you.
Yeah,
and now we just finished building 8 homes. We have another 17 that we'll finish off on the Lebanese border for the people who lost homes. Government leaders and mayors have opened up to us, and they know our mission statement. It's on our website. They said, we read your website. You want to see lives transformed through the love of Yeshua? But they said, we know your heart. You do it with such excellence and such love that you're welcome here anytime. And that's game changing. And that's not just because of us. That's something God's doing, mm-hmm. changing the spiritual climate of our nation as people are hungry for him.
Yeah. See, those are selfless acts of redemption. So whenever you start moving in selfless acts of redemption, which is what we're all about, man, you literally see walls come down because people realize, man, this doesn't come from you cats. This comes from God. What in the heck, you know? So one of the things that I do and that I have done for years and years, and I was taught early in my support for Israel that I need to do that, is that I think that we as Christians, and especially we as churches, we make a big mistake in raising money and just supporting the government.
Yeah.
Because what we need to support is the kingdom in Israel, which is supporting the church. Yeah. We have to support the messianics.
Look at what Paul did in Romans chapter 15. He's teaching the Gentile church. He
says, take
up an offering for the saints in Jerusalem. Like, what is he saying here? Now, I'm not just saying that because I'm a saint in Jerusalem, but I'm saying he's saying, because we've received from Israel spiritually, we would not have our Bibles if it wasn't for the Jewish people. Yeah. We would not have the Messiah or the covenants or the giving of the law. Like, because we receive from Israel spiritually, ought we not to contribute physically, especially to the household of faith?
So
that's our heart with FIRM, as we say, man.
I've never said that before, and I'm totally going to steal that.
Okay,
so now you tell us about FIRM.
I'm stealing from the Apostle Paul. So that's our heart really with FIRM, is say, listen, a lot of people want to say, you know, we want to love Israel. We don't know where to start. We don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
But we know that we want a safe, trusted, gospel-centered way to get involved, advancing the kingdom of God in Israel through local believers. And I'm talking about Jewish believers and Arab believers, because we know the Muslim community in Israel also need the name of Yeshua. I really think the ultimate picture of the gospel reconciliation is when Jews and Arabs come together in this beautiful reconciliation that could only come in through the power of Yeshua. And that's where we're seeing more and more people engage that way, and there's more openness in Israel. We're starting to transform governments as well through the power of the gospel.
Okay, 2 years before October 7th, 2 years before, the Lord told me and Leanna, I want you to start building bomb shelters.
Yeah,
and so we got a big thing in Ashkelon. We do a big thing in Ashkelon, and we have things all over. But you know, we rescue people out of sexual slavery there.
Amazing.
And so we have that. And but anyway, we started building all these bomb shelters and putting them all over Ashkelon and then putting them down towards Gaza.
Yeah.
And had no idea, of course, that this event was going to take place. Then once October 7th happened, man, I looked into the camera and I started talking to the Open Door Army And man, I started talking about it. We raised over $500,000.
Amazing.
Wow. And we did not blindly send that. We sent that to the Messianic congregations. Fantastic. That is in Israel. And I hope that guys, listen, I hope that if you don't get anything out of this today, that you get this one thing. This brother knows, he's boots on the ground. He's got this amazing organization called Firm. And what he's telling you is the same thing that I'm telling you. We must, as Christians in America, support the body of Jesus.
Amen.
Within Israel. We have to do that. And oh, Super Jew here in the cowboy hat will tell you. She'll tell you, man. I promise you, man, we do that.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what happens when you do that. When you do that, it actually helps a very, very small body in Israel that's less than half of 1%.
Yep.
Make a disproportionate impact on our society.
So good.
So now all of a sudden we see the body of Christ around the world propping up the arms of local believers, and people start to take notice. And that's not common. You know, most of the money given by evangelical Christians doesn't go to Messianic ministries. It goes to the government. It goes to other or agencies, some that actually persecute the believing body.
That's exactly right.
The fact that you invested through Messianic congregations and ministries, that's music to our ears.
Here in just a minute, man, we're going to go what's called behind the veil.
Okay.
And behind the veil is for people, it's exclusively for people that are stage two and stage three partners at odx.tv. And as a matter of fact, we have some brand new stage two and stage three partners.
Yes, we do.
And let's look those people up and let's give them a shout out.
Okay, so let me pull this up, Pastor. Hold on. We have, this is so fun that we started doing this, by the way, because, you know, we're constantly talking about, hey, join odx.tv, join our platform. And we have different ways that you can join, whether it's a lifetime partner, stage two, or stage three. So we have three new lifetime partners. We have Marianne from Texas, John from Texas, and David from Texas, holding it down, the lifetime partners in Texas.
And by the way, I want to tell you guys how these guys became lifetime partners. They gave a gift of $5,000.
Wow.
And that $5,000, here we are rescuing a little girl, a 12-year-old little girl, this week, which now we're making a commitment for a lifetime to this one little girl. And so, man, that's $15,000 that these people generously gave. And so our most generous gift that we had to give to you is a lifetime access to all things ODX, including every conference I'm ever going to preach for the rest of my life. If it is a ticket event, you get to watch it for free. So there you go.
Yeah, that's awesome. So welcome to the family. Welcome to the tribe. We have six new stage two partners: Michelle from Tennessee, James from Arkansas, William from Georgia, Phyllis from North Carolina, Linda from North Carolina, and LaDonna from Texas. Welcome.
James from Arkansas.
Yeah.
Man. Mm. Hey, James, come to Texas. We have electricity here.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just teasing. Did you know I was actually saved in Arkansas?
Wow.
Listen, Arkansas is where I left home from Ma and Pa, and what does that song go? Anyway, I went to Arkansas, and I found Jesus in Arkansas.
Oh, my gosh.
On Highway 7, just north of Hot Springs, Arkansas, at a place called Christian Ministries Church, and I found a woman preacher.
Really?
Came out. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was a woman preacher, and I was sitting there laughing. These inbred hillbillies up here, man, they even got women preachers. You can't have no, and then the power of the Holy Ghost hit me, and a devil went out of me.
Can anything good come from Arkansas? I guess so.
Exactly right. So, praise God. So thank you guys. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, and shout out to Sabrina from Alaska, a new stage three partner. So we got ODXers all the way up in Alaska. We're like literally
Alaska, man.
Wow. All over.
You know, the United States bought Alaska for $4 million. That's 2 cents an acre.
That's crazy.
That's a deal of a century right there, man. That was a good deal right there. Hey, listen, I want to say a great big thank you to all of my friends. And here, listen, we're about to go behind the veil, all right? And so if you're stage two and stage three, just stay right where you're at on odx.tv and keep on watching. For everybody else across all my social media feeds, he and I would like to talk about things that otherwise might be throwing us off of prim and proper social media feeds, which I love to talk. Listen, I'm a rugged old bird. I'm a rough dude. And I have very little couth or class, but I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I promise you, I am. And so if you are, look at that. Saskatchewan is here, by the God.
I love it. Hey, fellow Canadians, love it.
I'm going to be in Manitoba in 2 weeks. I'm going to be in Manitoba. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to be up up there. Fairhead. There's an area called the PAWS. And you know about the PAWS?
No.
The PAS, right on. And so I go up there every year. And I go bear hunting.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
I go bear hunting, and I eat I eat me some chicken fried bear steaks. Yes.
I didn't know you
chicken
eat
fried
it.
Bear.
And I promise you, man. I promise you, I'm not lying to you. Bear grease makes the best gravy on the planet Earth.
Really?
I promise.
Oh, I'm not making that up.
You wouldn't think it would because you know they're the dog family. But
bears are in the dog
Yeah, the bears are the dog family. And so you're like, man, that's not that couldn't be good. Yes,
they just don't domesticate as well, Shay.
Yeah, I guess.
Can't keep them as a house pet.
And because I'm going to have a cameraman with me, that means I got to have a blind on the ground so that bear will be right beside me.
That's going to be cool.
Oh my goodness. Yeah,
and I'll run him off if you know if I you know
I told tinkle
in my
guy.
Britches or something like that. You know, I like I'll run him so I like. Yeah, it's going to be.
I told our camera guy, he's one of our newest team members here, and he's going with you. And I'm like, you're literally entrusting your life to Pastor Troy. I mean, you literally are, because they're going to be in the middle of nowhere with the bears and a gun.
The reason I brought him is because I think I can outrun him.
So you're all you got to do is outrun Brandon, one person. I hope you're not watching.
Yeah, that's all
you hope you're not watching. I'm not watching this. We love you, and yes.
Okay, I do want to say this. We added a whole bunch of things to ODX this week.
Yes, we did.
And can we say that real quick?
Yeah, so we added Blurry Creature. So now you can go to ODX.tv and catch Pastor Troy. As I think it's the third Blurry Creature's most watched. And I'm so excited because it was just one of the most crazy things that I've seen and connected with. So it is amazing. Go to ODX.tv. We have Faith TV, Pastor Troy's recent appearance. Also, we have, and I'm missing it, Skywatch on there. Yeah. We got the new podcast that is on Mondays, Altered State. It is so good. So honestly, if spiritual warfare is for you, it honestly has been mind-blowing. He talks about the different realms that we should be operating. It's not just rebuking and casting out, but he's teaching us the state of mind and so realms good. That you should be operating daily in your daily walk with King Jesus. So I want to share that.
I was wondering what you were going to say about that.
Well, I paid attention.
Yeah, you did pay attention. Yeah. So way to go, little girl.
And
you,
we
man.
Got the amazing Pastor Brian Gibson joining us tomorrow on the podcast.
Yes.
Brian and Gibson.
That's going to be fun.
He's out of jail. I'm so
he's
happy.
He's out of jail. He's always going to say that.
At Joseph Z Conference, he blew my mind. Y'all are going to be amazing tomorrow on The Pulse. And he'll be joining us tomorrow at 7 p.m. for our midweek service.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah. That's tomorrow night. So,
I'm excited.
So guys, joining us again here tomorrow. If you're watching on social media feed, we're about to say bye-bye. But for everybody that's on ODX.tv, stay right where you are because we're going to go behind the veil with my good friend Michael. And guys, we have a new television show that is coming out in the fall that is called The Counter. Watch this. This is going to be one of the greatest shows ever, and I'm so excited about it. So, friends, be looking for Joseph Z. We're Christians. We're believers in Jesus.
That's right.
Darren Stott.
This can be redeemed. Your marriage can be restored.
Alan DeDia.
God speaks through authority. He always has, and he always will.
Tony Markle.
And so it should be a call to the men of the household to be strong in their position and don't abandon the post.
Brian Schwartz.
That means we have his memory. We have his insight. We have his perspective.
And yours truly for a brand new show that's called The Counter. You'll be able to find it exclusively in Stage 2 and Stage 3 of ODX.TV.